heard on great radio stations all across America. It's The National Defense with Randy Miller and Jerry Newberry.
This is The National Defense. Randy Miller along with Jerry Newberry, Communications Director for the VFW. And as always, our dedication.
Hey, this show's for you, the men and women serving on active duty, the Guard and Reserves, to the millions of veterans out there, and of course, to all their families. We're here for you. We love you. God bless you.
Now, I would imagine a man as important as a communications director for the VFW.
I know something's coming.
I just want to know. Were you in the second or third row at the inauguration? How does that go? How do they pick a row for you? Were you on the dais? How does that work? Where were you?
Actually, I was in a very warm environment, watching it on TV. Oh. I've attended a couple of inaugurations, Randy, and I know how cold it can be in D.C.
Yeah,
saw the weather report, the weather forecast, and stayed home.
So you were nowhere near Oprah?
No.
I said, there's Oprah. Where's Jerry's got to be right around there somewhere.
You know, she's mad at me.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, I didn't show up. I stiffed her.
That's right.
You know, so.
Listen, from the looks of that crowd, I think anywhere away from that would have been the place to be. Because, I mean, was just nuts.
Huge throng of people.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I said, I've been to a couple of inaugurations. Huge crowds, but nothing like that.
2 million people,
they
say.
Yeah.
Was the estimate.
You know, trying to get around on the metro. It would have been a nightmare.
Well, and they said, you know, everybody that's in office there in Washington had problems with the security because one thing would be open for a while and then closed. So they just.
But you look at such a huge event.
Yeah.
All the people there. Went remarkably well.
Oh yeah, except for the swearing in. Everything else was perfect.
Yeah, that was a little bit of a mix up. But
that's right. They've done it four times now, so it's been done.
You know, if I was standing up there trying to administer can you imagine? I can't talk into this mic without stuttering.
Listen, I felt Rick Warren, who delivered the prayer.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
The pressure?
Really?
I mean, you know, not just to say the right thing, but to say the exact right thing.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, he was...
A lot of pressure on everybody.
A lot of pressure and a lot of controversy there.
Yeah.
But, hey, the American process, it works great. And, you know, no matter what your politics are, your personal politics,
right.
You have to find inspiration in the fact that our system works so well, the transition.
Yeah, you know,
remarkable.
What? The election's over. You got to support the president. He's the president.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't care what your politics are. He's the president of the United States.
That's right.
So, but it was, I'll tell you one thing. It was great to see. It was great to see that number of people happy at one time. I mean, when's the last time you've seen that?
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
So that was.
It was. And, you know, last week, I wonder how the drum major of the Marine Corps band did.
I saw him.
Did you see him?
I saw him. Right at the beginning of the inauguration, right before the ceremony, actually they showed him, and you know there was a smaller group that he talked about that played right at the processional.
Right,
and man, he was, of course, he was great, and it was a cool deal to talk to him.
It was very cool,
and you know you had it right when you said he's at right in the middle of history.
He's
got the front row to everything that goes on at the White House.
Yeah, can you imagine?
Oh, I just want to read the book.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, we got a lot to talk about on the program today, Jerry. We got some really, you know, you talk about a new beginning and some great things happening for the country. And as always, some great things happening for the veterans when the right people get involved, right?
Yeah. And, you know, at times, Randy, it's easy to become cynical.
Yep.
It's easy to be jaded. Because there's a lot of bad people out there.
Right.
And
we're going to name them in just a few minutes.
But there are so many good people. And sometimes we lose sight of that, and we shouldn't. America is a great country. We've got great people, generous people. living here and who want to do the right thing and do the right thing.
Without being asked.
Exactly.
That's the other thing. Yep. You know, that was the big thing out of Obama's message is that, you know, the message is going to be for you to step up. Well, a lot of people are already doing that. We're going to talk to some of them this hour. Plus, we've got some hot topics. It's all coming up right here on The National Defense.
This is The National Defense.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Veterans of Foreign Wars believes in active allegiance to flag and country. Through legislative activism and service to our military forces, veterans, their families, and communities. Freedom starts at home. Pledge your allegiance again. If you're a veteran and served overseas, you may be eligible to become a member of the nation's elite veterans organization, the Veterans of Foreign Wars.
You've served your country, now you can help your country serve others. Call 1-888-JOIN-VFW. That's 1-888-JOIN-VFW.
The following letter was written by Technical Sergeant Jerry G., U.S. Air Force.
I've just finished reading over some of the correspondence you've sent us over here. And for an old dog like me, I was choked up. Thanks to each and every one of you. You're the reason why I have proudly put on the uniform of the American forces. To serve folks like you, those we all love and honor, and those who do not have what we have, but who are willing to stand next to us and fight for their own freedom as well. So the next time you see one of my brothers or sisters in arms, shake their hands or pat them on the back. Tell them you support them. This is what we cherish more than anything.
Your support may be the most important thing our troops can carry with them. But don't take our word for it. Take theirs. To show your support, visit americasupportsyou.mil. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Defense and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to National Defense. Randy Miller along with Jerry Newberry. And, I love this time of year because this is when we get to count up all the money that's been forwarded to the VFW.
Right. And we get to talk to old friends.
Absolutely.
And
people that are still making a difference. You know, that's the thing that we've talked about, too.
And because they want to.
Right.
Not because someone's forcing them to do it. And, speaking of old friends... we have an old friend with us today, Randy.
Yeah, the home of the Angry Whopper. Mike DeRosa, Burger King franchisee, and these guys came through in a big way last year, and that was nothing compared to what they've done this year.
Right.
Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, and thanks for having me back on the show.
Oh, thank you for doing everything that you're doing. This is amazing. Check for $250,000 presented to the VFW Foundation for the Unmet Needs Program. And, you know, not only did you raise the money in a great way, you presented it in a great way, too, in front of all these hockey fans, right?
We sure did. We had an opportunity last Thursday at the Minnesota Wild hockey team at their game, and it was about almost 18,000 people there, and Fax TV was broadcasting locally, so there were probably hundreds of thousands of great hockey fans in the upper Midwest that saw the game and saw the check presentation.
Wow.
Yeah, and let's talk about how that money was raised, Mike.
Sure.
We got to give you some credit on this. We have to give you a lot of credit because you're the catalyst for this. You started last year, and it was with some franchises in several states. I don't remember how many states
right.
now, but and it was buy a burger, donate a buck initiative, right?
Right. Last year we had about seven states. We had about 341 Burger Kings. We raised $110,000. And this year we did basically the same thing. Customers had come in. We'd ask them whether they'd like to support military families and tell them about the program. And all of them were wonderful and did it very quickly. And but this year, because of the success we had last year, we had more Burger Kings join us. And this year we had 126 from Indiana and Michigan. The total was 470 Burger Kings in the Upper Midwest,
wow.
10 states instead of seven. So as the pot grew, as we raised more money, so did the number of Burger Kings. So we were able to reach more of our guests and ask them to help, and they really they came out in record numbers. It was just great.
And if I recall, that's a significant amount. A lot more Burger Kings participated this year than last year.
Yes.
And how'd you swing that?
Well, you know, it's just a matter of word of mouth, and we're part of the National Franchisee Association, which is an independent group of Burger King owners, and they invited me out to their Washington, D.C. meeting on 9/11, which was, I think, appropriate, and they gave me the stage for about 15, 20 minutes to talk about this program, and I think it touched a lot of the guys, and afterwards they came up and said, Mike, we want to help out. Count us in. So that's how we got that other 126 restaurants. And I'm, to be honest with you, I'm anticipating, you know, a couple of hundred more next year, if not 500 or 600
wow.
more.
So, Mike, what happens when a customer comes into one of the participating restaurants? Are there big signs? Do the people who are working there get them in headlocks and
the Burger King actually jumps out, I think.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. The Burger King comes, slaps them up, says, "Give me a buck for unmet needs."
Right.
No, we have a lot of signs up. We have it in our marquee. But the people that really drive this are the young ladies and men who are our order takers. Matter of fact, there's one order taker at one of my stores here in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Her name is Mackenzie. And she personally sold 499 of these flags or got donations for them. So she single-handedly was able to bring in almost $500 worth of donations. And there's stories like that throughout the Upper Midwest. One of the other things we do is we have some great radio stations that always help out. They'll donate a live remote at the restaurant. So the DJ is there talking about unmet needs. And what I do is any money we raise during that time period, I'll match it. So if we get donations of $300 or $400, I'll donate it. You know, I'll match that with $300 or $400 of my own dollars just to keep some excitement out there and try to bring some of the people in. And a funny story this year, of course, the VFW up in Rice Lake, Pete Breed, he knew I was going to do that, so he had all of his friends put the money together, and they walked in with $2,250.
Ouch!
Time. So I said, "You dog, you!" But it was a great way to raise money, and it shows how the VFW posts get behind this locally and really help drive it, and that's really part of the big success of this program.
Yeah, and of course, the VFW Unmet Needs Program, such a great program, helping military families, emergent needs, you know, when they fall between the cracks, then come to the VFW and get financial assistance. And thanks to you and a lot of other people helping out with this, we've been able to assist thousands of military families.
Yes. As a matter of fact, I think since the program started, something like a little over $2 million has been raised and dispersed. And 100% of the money that people donate to Unmet Needs actually finds its way to the military families. And so it's just a phenomenal program when you realize that it goes back, everything you give goes back to the people that need it. It's just a great program, and next year I want to crack $500,000.
Yeah, we're just helping those who deserve it most.
Yes, we are.
Okay, Mike. Again, you deserve a lot of credit for this.
Thank you.
Great effort. Tell us a little bit about yourself. What made you get involved in this?
Well, you know, it was real simple, and it was one of those days I was reading a magazine, and the ad for Unmet Needs was in the magazine. As a matter of fact, I have the picture of that magazine article on my desk in my office, and it shows a young lady holding a small child looking out of a door. And it really struck me that we have the troops overseas, because she's probably 20, 21 years old. The baby looks less than a year. And I've got all kinds of young ladies like that working for me and my 13 Burger Kings. And they're the backbone of our crews. And I realize the pressure that these ladies are under. And their husbands go off to war. They're protecting us. And we give their husbands the best of this, the best of that, the best food, the best weapons, the best protection. What are we giving the people who are back home? We're not giving them much. And I really felt that that was something that my Burger Kings and all our Burger Kings could help with. And so that and it also helped the fact that my daughter was pregnant and I was going to be a grandfather for the first time. And I thought to myself, if that was my daughter, what would I do? And so I had no problems getting involved in pushing this as much as I can.
Yeah, and, you know, so many people don't give thought to the sacrifice and the hardships that military families face. And,
yeah.
You're an amazing guy, Mike. That's all I can say.
Well, you know, and the other thing that strikes me too, Mike, is the fact that in, you know, all these economic pressures and everything going on, all the totals for everything is going down every year. You guys almost doubled. I mean, you added to the amount that you had last year, and then the hopes are high for another record year. That's amazing, and that's a tribute to not only what you're doing, but maybe in how people are viewing something like this in a program like this.
It really is. We have never gotten better guest response, and I think even though it's they're coming in and everybody's watching their pennies because of the economic situation, I think it brings to the point that here these people are overseas and they're protecting us and their families are here and their families have less than what our customers are walking in with. So, and it's just a dollar. It's just a dollar.
Right.
You know, you could find that change on the floor of your car if you looked hard.
Yeah, it's just a dollar, but when 250,000
right.
of them, that's
exactly. Shake your couch down, you know,
yeah.
Between the cushions, and you'll be able to come up with a buck.
Yeah. Hey, Mike,
they were just great. My hat goes off to all of our guests.
I want to, you know, just a word of caution there in Minnesota. When you put up a sign that says "Buy a burger, donate a buck," you got a lot of hunters around there. has that ever been a problem? Somebody just drives in with a pelt.
Well, not that I know of.
You know,
usually the hunters up here, they like to keep their trophies at home. They don't give them away for a buck.
You know, and the people that work for you, is there any kind of a special award that you give, like the young lady that did the $4.99?
Oh, sure. Matter of fact, my own franchise group and I know all the other folks that own the other franchise organizations, we all have incentive programs. So she earned a couple of $100 for being the number one seller in her restaurant.
That's great.
And so we gave financial prizes to everybody in each of the restaurants who were the number one, two, and three seller, if you will. And but I'll tell you, they do it because they want to do it. That's
right.
You know, money doesn't motivate people. It's that personal passion. And the story has gotten out enough around here, and they've seen these vets come in. Veterans Day was fabulous. We had a lot of vets come into our restaurants for breakfast because they made that their stop because they were going out to the various grade schools and middle schools to talk about, you know, their experiences. So it's bringing those veterans together, and my people see that, and they know they're part of something larger. And that really helps motivate them.
All right. You're not aware of this, Mike, but the radio show is growing by leaps and bounds. We're joining a new network in about a week, I think, isn't it, Randy?
Yeah, Radio America.
Well,
yeah.
Great.
So here's what we want you to do.
Okay.
When you're getting ready to launch next year's effort.
All right.
I want you to get a hold of me and Randy.
Okay.
And then
let's be part of the kickoff.
Yeah, we want to be part of the kickoff.
That would be great.
Exactly.
And then all the employees can listen online, and we'll talk about them, and just bring, you know, try to bring even more of a sense of excitement.
And when MAFA meets, the Mid-America Franchise Association, I'm sure you get up there and give them a good speech, trying to get them on board.
Okay.
If we can help you out with that in any way.
I appreciate that, and if I've... Let me tell you, do I have time for a quick story?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. There's a great friend of mine, Jim Redden, who owns about 40-some Burger Kings over in Minneapolis and Minnesota area, and just a great friend, known him for over 30 years. And I challenged him, or he challenged me, that he would shave his head if I got all the franchisee owners to donate at least $5,000 out of their own pockets if
you're
over and above. Now you got to understand that I'm a little what do they call it? A little challenge when it comes to growing hair. So shaving my head wouldn't mean much.
Well, Randy has shaved his head.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll shave anything you want for $5,000.
Jim,
that's
course,
on my
has
sign.
A great head of hair, and he didn't. I don't know if he figured that I wouldn't be able to do it, but we raised a heck of a lot more than $5,000. So at our June meeting of MAFA, we're going to sit him in front of everybody, and we're going to shave his head.
Oh yeah,
that'll be the unofficial kickoff for the 2009. Unmet needs.
And I'll tell you what, send us some photos of that.
Oh, are you kidding? We're going to send you video on this one.
Oh,
that's
right.
Yeah.
This will be a YouTube favorite.
Yeah, we'll put it on VFW channel and nationaldefense.com. And
And Mike, you know, we've had the opportunity, which has been great, to talk to a lot of these families that have benefited from the Unmet Needs Program. And there is, as you know, I mean, nothing more gratifying to hear when you talk about 100% of this money goes to these families.
Yes.
They tell you exactly how it came in, what the need was, how it was met immediately with no red tape, no huge amount of paperwork, just got it done, which is what the Unmet Needs Program does.
Yeah.
And so that's just, again, thank you so much for everything you guys have done and what you continue to do.
Guys, I'm honored to do it.
And it's been great speaking to St. DeRosa.
Exactly. Mike, listen.
Mike, thanks a lot.
You have a great day and a great year, and we'll talk to you at the kickoff.
Okay, thanks, guys.
All right.
That's the kind of guy. Can we have everybody just have a little Mike DeRosa in them?
No kidding.
Man.
I mean, in 2 years, Randy.
That's incredible. Yeah.
$250,000.
Wow.
That's a lot of coconuts going to the right place.
Did he sound satisfied?
Yeah, he
with that?
Happy.
No,
yeah.
Not, I mean, listen, he
he's
wants
happy.
Them all.
Yeah, that's right.
That is great.
And, you know, I can foresee a day maybe when we're talking nationally. Yeah.
That is one angry whopper.
And I can't wait for the kickoff. I can't wait for him to get started because I can't wait for you to shave your head.
Let's edit that. We'll be right back here on the National Defense.
We're standing guard with the truth. The National Defense.
In a military warehouse south of Washington, D.C., a USO stuffing party is in full swing. By the end of the day, volunteers will have stuffed over 10,000 USO care packages, packed them in boxes, loaded them on trucks, and sent them on their way to our soldiers in Iraq, Afghanistan, and military bases around the world. They'll stuff them full of things that most of us take for granted, but that our troops don't often have. Things like toiletries, playing cards, candy, books, little things. Little things that carry an enormous message to our troops. Little things like thank you, like we'll never forget you, like we're behind you 100%, like we love and cherish each and every one of you. Little things. We're all about the little things. We're the USO, so are you. For more information and to find out how you can help, visit us at uso.org. The USO, until everyone comes home.
Big Brothers Big Sisters presents 100 Years of Helping Kids.
With us today are Sally and her big sister Marcy.
Hi.
Hello.
To share some stuff we've learned.
Kids and sugar, a combustible mix.
Hey, Marcy, let's go to the zoo.
Maybe the park.
We could fly a kite.
I want a hot dog.
No,
ice cream.
Is that a horse?
I love horses.
Hey, let's dance.
Maybe that's enough chocolate.
And sing.
La, la, la. La, 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 la.
It's also not uncommon for a kid to demonstrate special powers.
Did you know I can run through walls?
No.
Watch this.
Oh, Sally.
Don't worry. I also have amazing healing powers.
Moments like these happen every day.
Making a big difference in the life of a child. To find out the many ways you can help support kids in your community, call 1-888-412-BIGS or go to bigbrothersbigsisters.org.
That's bigbrothersbigsisters.org.
This message brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
That's all for now.
Welcome back to National Defense. Randy Miller along with Jerry Newberry. And keeping in that theme of people doing some great things for the VFW, we've got another great story.
Yeah, and, the members of the VFW do so much, not only for the country, their communities, but, you know, we've been so involved with helping military and military families. And, there's no better way than to tell that story than to talk to the people who are doing it.
Yep.
And, you know, VFW Post all across the country, as a matter of fact, all around the world are very involved in supporting our military and our families. And with us today is a VFW Post commander from Post 1599, Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, Chuck Lucas. How are you?
I'm fine.
Hey, good. Hey, thanks for being with us, Chuck. What a great effort. A lot of people don't know this, but Pennsylvania has probably more National Guard people either deployed or in the process of deploying than any other state in the Union.
Right. This is the largest deployment of a National Guard unit from Pennsylvania since World War II, I've been told.
And you have a local guard unit in your community.
And, that's correct.
And you decided to adopt that unit.
Right.
Okay, so what goes along with adopting a unit? What does that mean?
Well, basically, we're here for them and their families. Basically, their families right now. They just left for deployment on the 16th to Kuwait. Then they deploy into Iraq. This is a striker unit, striker brigade unit.
Right.
And, again, we're here for them, anything they need. I just received a call from our local middle school, and there's a couple of classes there that want to send Valentine cards to all the unit members that have been deployed, and we're going to pay the postage for that.
So when you say you're there for the families, does support end with, say, helping them send packages, or do you get involved with the families, say, if they need house repairs or something like that?
That's correct, although we haven't gotten into that yet. This is this is virgin territory for us, so we're sort of playing it by ear. But if there's a family in distress from a member who's deployed over there, we're there for them.
So back, if I understand correctly, back in December, y'all wanted to help raise money to bring the soldiers home for Christmas because they've been at Fort Dix, New Jersey, training.
They were there and before that at Fort Polk, Louisiana.
Oh, I see. Okay. So you decided to raise some money. Were you able to bring them all home, help them come home at Christmas time?
Yes, we did. We had a local bus company, Wolf's Bus Lines, that contributed two buses. We paid for the driver and the fuel. We also supported another unit from a town close by. So it ran us a little over $3,000 to do that.
So how much money did you raise?
The last count I have from the bank is over $11,000. And that's all just from people just giving at the bank or church groups, veterans groups.
And this isn't something you started a year ago. This is something you started about a month ago.
Late November.
Late November. Yeah, a little over a month.
We raised $11,000 in 1 month.
That's, well, and it's a spectacular effort and a spectacular cause. And then I understand there's also, they got, vacation for 10 days, and then they get a special deployment dinner.
Right. Right? Right. Yep.
And
we had about 250 people there, members of the unit plus their families. It was a very emotional day.
I'll bet.
And anyone who's ever deployed overseas know what they're going through. I went through that Desert Storm, so it was a tough day, but we had a lot of thank yous and a lot of tears.
How'd you raise that almost $11,000?
Basically, by going on local television and issuing an appeal and articles in the newspaper. We opened an account at a bank, and people could just walk in and contribute as they felt they needed to. We also gave them the VFW address, and we received checks there. The money just kept flowing in.
Just by simply letting people know what you were doing,
right,
and asking for help.
Right.
That's amazing. What a great country. Yeah, and Chambersburg must be a great community.
Yeah,
it is. It is.
So,
very close-knit group. We're about 20,000 people, you know, typical American little town.
So as Post 1599, how active are you in the community aside from this effort?
Oh, extremely active. We're one of the largest posts in Pennsylvania. And,
how many members?
Approximately 1,300 right now.
Wow.
When I took over as commander, we had nearly 1,500, but we're losing a lot of our World War II and Korean veterans right now.
So what are some of the other things you do in a community?
We have a very active honor guard of about 25 members. We average about 140 ceremonies a year at graveside. Of course, we sell poppies. We support little league teams. We support high school athletic teams and events, feed them before games, on and on and on.
Well, that helps dispel the stereotype that VFW members are just a bunch of old guys sitting around drinking beer and VFW
yeah, I've
post
heard that.
Yeah.
But that's not true.
Doesn't it grind you when you hear that? Doesn't it upset you?
It does, but
it's efforts like this that let people know that that's not the case. And when they see what the VFW posts are doing, it's just amazing. And not only the fact that you're doing that in Chambersburg, but there are those kind of efforts going on all around the country.
Right.
And you know, we've tried to bring attention to your post and what you're doing. We put it up on our website, as you probably know.
I've seen that. Yes.
Yeah, and. Of course, radio, we're on a lot of affiliates across the country. And, of course, you can hear us online by going to thenationaldefense.com. So let people in your community know that.
Let the membership know about that.
Yeah.
If you go to thenationaldefense.com, they can listen to this interview and everything online.
And
okay, I'll post that.
And you can sign autographs now because we've helped make you a star. But seriously, Chuck, kudos to you and all of the members of Post 1599. That's a tremendous effort. Another example of a lot of great Americans doing the right thing.
Well, the country's been good to us, so it's nice to be able to return the favor a little bit, do what we can to help.
So let me ask you this, Chuck. When did you serve in the military?
I originally enlisted right after high school in 1961 with the Air Force. I did 4 years active, and then in the early 70s, I joined the West Virginia Air National Guard in the intelligence field. I was commissioned in 79 and served 26 years.
Yeah, and when did you join the VFW?
Oh, my. Years ago. I became really active after I retired from teaching, so I'd say 2002 is when I became very active.
So you're a man who served his country in the military, retired from the military, continued serving his country and his community as a teacher, and continuing your service as commander of a VFW post.
Correct.
That says a lot about you. And, there's so many people with similar stories who have dedicated their entire lives to serving our country, and that's a great thing.
Yes, it is.
And on behalf of Randy and myself, thank you for your service. Pass along our best to all the members, and keep up the good work.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Chuck.
Okay, be in touch.
We'll be right back here on the National Defense.
The only truth you'll hear on the radio, the National Defense.
The VFW is looking for a few more heroes. The largest combat veterans organization in America wants to get you involved and keep you active. With nearly 2 million members and 9,000 posts around the country, the VFW is doing the tough job of supporting our troops. You can be a part of all the excellent programs to keep the fires burning on the front lines. Programs such as Operation Uplink, with phone cards for active duty and hospitalized veterans, Adopt a Unit, which provides assistance for nearly 1,000 military units, and care package efforts for the troops serving in Iraq and Afghanistan. Only someone who's been there can understand what it means to be remembered. The VFW has been the heart and soul of the military for over 100 years. Isn't it time you stake your claim as a veteran? Call the VFW Membership Department at 1-888-JOIN-VFW or log on to VFW.org for more details. You've served your country. Now you can help your country serve others. Call 1-888-JOIN-VFW. That's 1-888-JOIN-VFW.
What do you want from the Wizard of Oz?
Just messing with you. But seriously, people don't want to stand in front of my big, awesome wizard head and hear me going, duh. They want answers. That's why I go to USA.gov, the official source for government info. It gives me the smarts to go with the show. Say someone asks for a brain. I go to USA.gov, type in student loans, and 4 years later, they're chock full of knowledge. Is the Wicked Witch terrorizing your neighborhood? Well, move. Then search USA.gov for change of address form so your friends can find you and the witch can't. How about if you're stuck here from Kansas and want to go home? Well, check out USA.gov for the latest travel restrictions and passport applications. I even use it for myself. Bought my sweet ride at a government auction I found on USA.gov. I call it the Wizmobile. Balloons are for squares.
For federal and state government information, there's no place like USA.gov.
Welcome back to National Defense. Randy Miller along with Jerry Newberry. And boy, we got some hot topics. You know, a lot to talk about. New administration, a lot of things changing.
Yep. And President Obama, right out of the gate, one of the very first things he did was draft an executive order that closes Guantanamo Bay.
Yep.
The detention center at Guantanamo Bay. And I thought there would be a lot more uproar over the fact that he's decided to do that, but I maybe it's because he didn't make any secret that he was going to do it if he was elected.
I mean, I don't think that was a surprise to anybody. I think the uproar, though, Jerry, is coming from where are you going to put them? I mean, that's the thing. Nobody wants the detainees
right
in their area, which is understandable. And what do you do with that?
Well, okay, let me ask the question. What is the major objection to have them being incarcerated in a prison in your area? I mean,
no, I get you.
You have murderers, right. Rapists, and
right.
They're behind the walls. Sometimes they're in, maximum security where they're only let out an hour or something. So I guess I don't quite understand the major concerns are.
You know, the objection that I've heard is that if you have somebody that's an alleged terrorist that is in your area and there's a major effort to
break them out
or to come and get them,
yeah,
that you're right in a crossfire.
Well, yeah, you know, the way to remedy that, Randy, is this is probably out of line, and I'm not trying to be facetious, but I wonder for those who have been sentenced and who are going to serve X amount of years in prison, let them out in the general population.
I like that idea.
I don't think that
I like that.
You know, the problem would stay around.
Would be around long? Yeah, I think you're right.
Not
a lot have been sentenced, though. That's the problem.
Right.
You know,
right.
I mean.
They're awaiting.
Awaiting trial.
Trial,
yeah.
Right. Well, you know, we'll have to wait and see how that turns out. But, we have federal correctional facilities that I have to believe that are secure enough. And you got to have faith. At least I have enough faith in our intelligence or our homeland security to believe that there wouldn't be some mass human wave attack on a prison or something like that.
Well, and I will say this, Jerry, you know, I was under the impression that there were, thousands of prisoners at Gitmo. At one time there was 800, and now it's down to 245.
Right, and
so
some time ago, I think it was during a convention, I think it was 2 years ago, Randy, or perhaps last year, I interviewed the then commander of Guantanamo.
Right.
His name fails, I can't remember his name. He's an admiral. But the special privileges afforded those prisoners,
right,
the pains they took to make sure that they were able to worship, receive certain types of food.
Right.
They really went out of their way.
Yeah,
so.
And that was, that's stuff you never hear about.
No.
Unless you listen
right
to this program, you
right
know. And that was surprising to me when we talked to the admiral about how far they did go.
Yeah.
For some of those special.
At times during prayers, if I recall the interview, things stopped on that base.
Yeah.
Out of respect to the right. prisoners' prayer period.
I don't think you're going to get that at Leavenworth.
No.
You know, so no. So we'll see no. how that plays out. But, yeah, I mean, you know, not a surprise. I mean, President Obama has been saying that all through the campaign. And so I think you're right. Not a lot of people jumped up and down about that.
No.
Now, what about the war strategy? And this is something that, you know, a lot of people concerned about to listen to this program, of course. But, man, day one, he's talking about it.
Well, that's you got to give him that.
Yeah.
We interviewed Senator Obama last year and right. also the year before.
Right.
And I know a couple of years ago we asked him about Afghanistan. And he was very clear
right.
and hasn't really moved from the position he gave us back then, that he felt Afghanistan is a place we have to go. We have to dedicate more resources. And as you know, that's something we talked about a lot,
right?
That we felt that needed to happen.
Well, that's what you said when you went to Afghanistan the first time.
Because I, yeah, yeah, back in 06.
Yeah.
Because I saw it for myself that they didn't have enough air support and, you know, just resources to fight the war
right.
the way it needed to be fought. So he is doing exactly what he said.
Said he wants combat troops out of Iraq in 16 months.
Right. And as you know, we've talked to numerous military leaders directly from Iraq, and the transition to Iraqi control seems to be going very well.
Right.
And it only makes sense. I mean, why wouldn't you phase out troops as they're not needed anymore? But he's also made it very clear that will be based he's not going to do anything to jeopardize
right.
our troops on the ground in Iraq. So,
And he's talking to the right people there, too. He's talking to the guys that are on the ground, commanders in charge, to kind of facilitate this.
Right.
And you know, it's not one of those arbitrary things
right.
where he goes,
he's talking to
May looks good.
He's talking to Secretary of Defense Robert Gates. He's yeah. talking to Admiral Mullen,
right.
General Petraeus. And you're right. It's people on the ground.
And so, you know, those forces are going to be concentrated a lot more in Afghanistan. And that's going to be interesting to see once they have the resources, what can happen there.
Yeah. And again, what has to happen in Afghanistan eventually. First of all, I think, this is my own opinion, there's a big difference between the Afghans and the Iraqis. Afghans are tremendously proud people, and they object. They don't like other people in their country. They never have.
They want a bigger role, right?
Yeah, they do want a bigger role, and they should have a bigger role. But again, under the Taliban rule, you know, everything was destroyed. You talk, at least in Iraq, you had enough military people there,
right.
Veterans that were taken back into the newly structured military. So it wasn't as difficult probably to build non-commissioned officer corps,
right.
things like that. Afghanistan's a totally different animal. No NCO structure, no military doctrine, no doctrine for the military to follow, and of course the geography of Afghanistan is much different. You have so many remote valleys and mountaintops and things like that where the military's never gone into. So it's a bigger animal, bigger fish to fry, you might say, but the Afghans have to take care of their own country. They have to assume security, and they have to ultimately make things so the Taliban can't flourish.
Right. And do you think that's going to be a faster situation of that happening than it was in Iraq?
I think it will.
Just because of the determination of the Afghan people?
Not only that, but there is, I think there's a greater pride, a greater sense of eagerness, maybe.
Yeah, right.
To
get things under control,
right,
there, yeah,
right.
themselves.
So we'll see. I could be wrong, but Afghans will ultimately have to assume security for their own country, just like the Iraqis.
I mean, there's a lot going on right now, and you know, a lot of people are just so concerned about what's going to happen to the Iraqi shoe thrower. You know, now that Bush is out of office, the big debate. What is this about? Okay, here's the story. A dispute broke out over future plans for the Iraqi journalist who threw his shoes at President Bush. And, you know, this guy, when this happened, he was a hero in Iraq.
A hero to many in the Middle East, yeah.
Right,
you know,
yeah.
Throwing a shoe is the most insulting thing you can do in Iraq.
Have you smelled those shoes? Let me tell you.
I didn't see that many shoes when yeah, I was in Iraq,
right,
quite
right,
frankly.
Right.
But, yeah, now they're afraid someone's going to kill him.
So he wants to go somewhere, and who wants to take him?
geez, I don't know. I have to be proper here. I had a few smart-ass answers for that. But
well, you know, concerned about his safety. I guess he's been severely beaten and tortured in detention, and
allegedly,
right?
They beat him with a shoe.
Well, you know what they're afraid of? They're afraid that in other Muslim countries, people who support his action could try to make him a martyr.
Right? Yeah.
I had thought about that.
Yeah, that's interesting. Kill him and
right.
You know,
he's such a hero. Let's kill him.
It was the devil, the U.S. and et cetera, et cetera, who killed him because he threw a boot at the great Satan, George Bush.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, that's
unbelievable.
That's going to be a
good luck to him.
Is he going to Switzerland? Is that where he's going?
I don't know where he's going.
Switzerland is a place that they're thinking about because
political asylum. Yeah.
Switzerland received 1,440 asylum applications from Iraqi citizens last year, of which only 164 were granted. Switzerland.
So good, tough. Good luck with that.
Yeah.
You know, last Monday, about 500 people marched to the White House and threw about 40 pairs of shoes at the gate.
No, they did not.
Yeah.
Did they really?
George Bush's last day in office, yeah.
They're throwing shoes at the guy as he's leaving.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So I suppose we're going to have to be careful when we make public appearances that that's going to be the new
please
thing.
Remove
people
your,
are going to be throwing boots at us.
Right. Please remove your shoes before we appear. Hey, we do want to talk about this Radio America. Now, starting next week, we're going to hook up with a new network, Radio America Network. And all of a sudden, you're not going to be able to go anywhere without hearing the National Defense. It's going to be on everywhere.
Now, as it should be.
As it should
as
be.
As it should be.
Now, you can still get us at thenationaldefense.com if you want to hear the program online.
Yep.
But there are going to be 40, 50, 60 more radio stations that are broadcasting the show, which is going to push us up, you know, well over 125 stations. So that's going to be great. And it's going to be a lot easier then to make contact with some of these posts, some of the areas that we couldn't get to before.
Right.
And so it's going to be great. And if you if you have an idea for a program or you want us to come and do the show, we're going to get the show out. We're going to visit some posts. We're going to be at the National Convention, all kinds of places for 2009.
And some big names coming up for interviews.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So if you want to, like I say, you got a question, you got a topic you want us to talk about, just get to us at thenationaldefense.com and we'll get it on there. But this is going to be great. And thanks to Radio America for picking us up.
What a great network. Radio America is
it's gigantic.
It's gigantic.
Yeah.
patriotic network.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's a place we need to be.
Yeah.
Because
good home for us.
A lot of programs on there speak the truth as well.
Right.
And so you can check them out and see about some of their other programs. But it's going to be a great time. That starts next week. We'll be here as usual right here in the National Defense. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks to our guest. And thank you for everything you're doing for the troops.
Just, God bless them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We'll see you next week right here on the National Defense.
I never thought that this is where I'd settle down. I thought I'd die an old man back in my hometown. They gave me this plot of land, me and some other men, for a job well done. There's a big white house, sits on a hill just up the road. The man inside, he cried the day they brought me home. They folded up a flag and told my mom and dad, we're proud of your son. And I'm proud to be on this peaceful piece of property. I'm on sacred ground and I'm in the best company. I'm thankful for those, thankful for the things I've done. I can rest in peace, I'm one of the chosen ones. I made it to Arlington. I remember Daddy brought me here when I was 8. We searched all day to find out where my granddad lay. And when we finally found that cross, he said, son, this is what it cost to keep us free. Now here I am, 1,000 stones away from him. He recognized me on the first day I came in, and it gave me a chill when he clicked his heels and saluted me. And I'm proud to be on this peaceful piece of property. I'm on sacred ground and I'm in the best of company. And I'm thankful for those, thankful for the things I've done. I can rest in peace, I'm one of the chosen ones. I made it to Arlington. And every time I hear 21 guns, I know they brought another hero home to us. Thankful for those, thankful for the things we've done. And we can rest in peace, 'cause we are the chosen ones. We made it to our...
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Veterans of Foreign Wars believes in active allegiance to flag and country. Through legislative activism and service to our military forces, veterans, their families, and communities. Freedom starts at home. Pledge your allegiance again. If you're a veteran and served overseas, you may be eligible to become a member of the nation's elite veterans organization, the Veterans of Foreign Wars.
You've served your country, now you can help your country serve others. Call 1-888-JOIN-VFW. That's 1-888-JOIN-VFW.